may think that thing looks human. Stands on two legs, right? But we're created in the Lord's image. You don't think that's what the Lord looks like, do you?
That was a clip from Shape of Water, The Shape of Water, which got 13 nominations this week in the Academy Award nominations. The record
Aquaman.
The record's 14.
Held by three motion pictures. Can you name them?
All About Eve.
Yes.
Titanic.
Yep.
And I don't know.
La La Land last year.
Oh, La La Land. Yeah. Wow. 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 Anyway.
Another fantasy that didn't win, but we'll talk about that. And by the way, just because you get 13 nominations doesn't mean you win. We can go back to The Color Purple, which had 11. And hi, I'm Bill McCuddy, everybody, and welcome to this special Oscar edition.
Yeah, I'm Neil Rosen.
I didn't mean to jump in, but I just...
You know, Bill Bergoli feeling snubbed already.
Yeah, it's funny. There were some snubs this morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were taping this the same day that the nominations were announced.
The biggest snub was Tiffany, what is it?
Well, that wasn't a snub.
Well, the way she pronounced everybody's names this morning was almost criminal. I mean, come on. But they've turned that whole thing into like, it's trying to be a show now, the announcements.
It was like, what was it, like an hour and a half or something?
Well, I think, I didn't see the whole thing. That's what streamed. I only watched what was on Good Morning America. But, and by the way, as I was flipping back and forth, our pal Dave Karger, who's now at IMDb and coming soon to Turner Classic Movies, and an old pal of ours from Entertainment Weekly and the show did a lot better than Jess Cagle and Chris. Who's the guy Chris that used to be at Premiere Magazine, like the editor. They were both on ABC and they didn't know anything compared to Karger. But anyway, I just think the way they're handling now these announcements is just ridiculous. They should just send out a press release.
Well, I remember years ago. You know, when I was at New York One, they'd take the feed live, and the feed was like 5 minutes, and they would
read
it like
a
laundry list,
too.
And that was fine. And then you'd comment on it. I'd actually do a pregame where I'd predict what was going to get nominated, then they'd take it, and then I'd say, well, you know, did pretty well on this, kind of messed up on that, and you go through it. But this is like a ridiculous it's not only a show, these nominations, it's a bad show. They show clips and do you see these little segments that they showed you? They had these segments like production design, so they have like a famous actress sitting there and they build a set around her and stuff like that. And
yeah, we didn't see any of that on either the Today Show or Good Morning America. We just got Andy and Tiffany show, which was
Andy Serkis and Tiffany
Haddish. Looking very uncomfortable with her mispronouncing everybody's name, including not knowing how to say Missouri or Ebbing.
I noticed that they both said Missouri, which I guess is the way you pronounce it.
The internet is buzzing today with the fact that you can say Missouri several different ways, and the people who live there consider it correct. But anyway.
Well, that's a lot of people have too much time on their hands. That's what they're buzzing.
Hey, Mike Sargent's going to join us in a little while with his take.
So is Perry Nemiroff, an old colleague of ours who was on our Oscar show, TV show last year.
She will tell us how well women did this year. At this performance, the part of Lisa Rossman is played by Perry Nemiroff. but I guess, what do you guys think of the big headlines? I mean, Phantom Thread was a huge surprise.
Phantom Thread was a huge surprise, and it kind of...
They didn't even send that out. I don't know how Oscar voters... I guess Oscar voters
got it.
Had to get it. They had to.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't get it because we're Critics' Choice and...
Well, but I talked to an Oscar voter like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and he hadn't gotten it yet. So they got that thing out if they didn't see it just in screenings. They got it out really quickly.
That's true. Well, you know, you saw it. You didn't like it at all.
No, I hated the end. Jumps the stitch. And I ran into a buddy of ours, the great Jeffrey Lyons, just about an hour ago. And he thought the movie was wildly overrated as well. But
it's
Daniel Day-Lewis's last. So that
I don't believe that's true.
Well, that's what they told him, or that's what they're saying. But for it to get the other nominations, including Paul Thomas Anderson for director. And who's the woman that was nominated for, she's a stage actress, for supporting actress. Those were genuine surprises. And screenplay, didn't it get?
You're talking from...
Phantom Thread.
From Phantom Thread? Yeah. You're talking about Leslie Manville?
Leslie Manville. There's a household name in almost nowhere.
That's all right. It's kind of good when you.
Listen, it's fun when there are surprises. But you know, I was very disappointed that I, Tonya, wasn't nominated as Best Picture. Margot Robbie got in, but and they nominated nine.
They never nominated 10. Have they ever nominated 10?
I think one year. The Coco didn't get in. People are.
That'll win its best animation thing.
And Wonder Woman didn't. All the ballyhoo about Wonder Woman.
Bill Bergoli, before we started the podcast, was telling me about Wonder Woman that he was surprised. You were surprised about
the reason we have 10 nominations is so that we can get movies like this. Was after the Dark Knight snub. And by the way, speaking of Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan finally nominated and may actually have a chance because I think people think he's overlooked. And I think Dunkirk could show a real surge here, but who knows?
Well, you know, the Best Picture category, that's the toss-up this year. But, you know, it's going to be either Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, or it's going to be The Shape of Water. But, yeah, I'm thinking your movie, Bill, Lady Bird, could squeak in there.
A lot of people today are making the case for how Three Billboards and
Greta Gerwig got a nomination for Best Director.
Which is great for
It's the Year of the Woman, so, you know, they might give it to Lady Bird and... And who knows, you know, I don't know, does Dunkirk have a shot?
I think Dunkirk has a real good shot.
Yeah, because there are filmmakers who vote, and there are a lot of trades in that movie.
Right, now no actors were nominated from Dunkirk, so that's going to hurt it.
Does Get Out have a shot?
I think a lot of people...
Does Darkest Hour have a shot?
As Best Picture, no, but that nomination for the picture has all but cemented, I think, Gary Oldman winning Best Actor. Unless, as you say, there's an upset, and Daniel Day-Lewis sneaks in, but I think that category is decided. The snub there was Tom Hanks. I never thought he was going to be nominated, but there was a tremendous amount of conversation. And the real surprise in that category, unquestionably, and I'm sure Mike Sargent will have more to say about this because he was a champ of that movie. But I told everybody in three interviews before this and on Twitter today that Denzel Washington should send a thank you note to James Franco because Franco's problems are the things that got him bumped out of this category. And
yeah, he was good before this, you know, stuff came out.
Golden Globe winner.
He was a shoo-in.
I think our Critics' Choice gave him a nod. I just think Denzel Washington as Roman J. Israel that nobody saw. Nobody.
Well, how about Meryl Streep getting the
Well, that's in the bylaws now. It's actually stated in the Academy Award documents that they have to vote.
I don't even think that's a leading performance. I think that's a supporting performance, really. You know what I mean? Do you think that's a lead performance?
Well, it's the Katharine Graham story. I mean, what's the lead in there? I mean, it's an ensemble movie, but if you're going to pick anybody, it would be she or Tom Hanks. They didn't campaign her for support.
I'm very surprised, even though Meryl automatically gets a nomination, I'm surprised that she got a nomination, really. You know?
Any other big shockers for you boys? You know who'll be able to...
Fade. This foreign film
in
I like,
Fade
In the
was,
Fade,
yeah.
I thought was going to win the best foreign language film.
Yeah,
I'm
glad you brought that up because that was one of my favorites. Have you seen The Square, which is this crazy movie that Elizabeth Moss is in? That probably has a better shot now because
is it in English?
Yeah,
and it's
partially, and it's it takes place in it's Sweden or what country is that?
I
don't know who
movie.
Submitted it. It's about an art museum and a crazy kind of Pierce Brosnan-y looking guy who runs the art museum and sleeps with everybody, including Elizabeth Moss. There's a monkey in it. There's a man acting like a monkey in it. It's crazy.
That just sounds great.
It was at the Hamptons Film Festival, and it was one of the most talked about movies out there this year.
You know what they campaigned the hell out of, but it didn't get nominated? It was Jane. For documentary.
The Jane Goodall.
Jane Goodall documentary didn't get nominated?
That's right.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize
that. Yeah,
that's
another big snub.
Oh, yeah, because that's been winning everything or been nominated for everything up to this point.
Big snub. But
Left in the Jungle.
What do you think about the star of Get Out, Daniel Kaluuya, getting nominated?
Is that how you say it? Because
I don't know.
Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany had no idea.
But was that a surprise?
No, I think people were expecting that. Jordan Peele won. Jordan Peele's film got 5 nominations, which I believe is exactly what they were expecting. I think that in the screenplay and
I'll tell you one of what I thought was a surprise was Logan getting
a screenplay. No, that is a big
adapted screenplay. I don't know why it's an adapted screenplay, Logan. I mean, was it a book?
It's a comic book.
Well, it's a comic book. Was that story in the comic book, or did they create? I mean, the Wolverine character.
Adaptation can be anything. Adaptation
created in the comic book.
But you know who'll know about this?
Mike Sargent.
Mike Sargent. Let's get him on the phone.
Let's get him on here. So joining us now is Mike Sargent, our friend and critic extraordinaire. So, Mike, why is Logan nominated for adapted screenplay? Was there a comic book based on that story with Professor Xavier and all that stuff?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had the same question. I mean, technically, because Logan is Wolverine is a character that has such a huge, 30 to 40 years of canon and all these stories have been written, they probably pulled elements from other stories. You know, I mean, this was pretty much, I from what I understand, it's a fairly original story, but it was taking elements from stories, Wolverine stories that have been told in graphic novels and whatnot. So that's why it fell under that. But I also think it was probably smart of them to submit under that category because they had a better chance, because it couldn't be considered an original screenplay because the characters were created by somebody else.
Was it better movies, or was it a better adapted screenplay than Wonder Woman, which got shut out?
Well, yes, in that it transcended the genre. You know, Wonder Woman did get shut out, but superhero movies generally do. You know, I mean, Wonder Woman was good, but I think if retrospect, Wonder Woman was good because the DC movies have been so bad. Nobody expected Wonder Woman.
I think they should have thrown Wonder Woman into the Best Picture category just for more mass appeal, because as Bill McCuddy said earlier in the podcast, they went to 10 nominees from 5, although there were 9 this year. They're rarely 10, if there ever were.
I liked Wonder Woman. I thought it was very good, but definitely not great. I think part of what made that movie so good is the directing and the acting. I think it was well done. But at the end of the day, we watch Wonder Woman on the big screen. If any of you watch it on the small screen?
Yeah, I have. But back to Neil's point, like, we got no chance of anybody watching these Oscars with some of the things that are nominated
The reason that they put these, they expanded the category was to get some of these mainstream films. Like, if you look at the nominees, and you look at the biggest box office grossing movies of the year, there's Star Wars and Wonder Woman and what was the other big Bill Burgoli? There was another one that was also women-oriented that was... Yeah, the three biggest grossing movies this year were Woman.
Oh, Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast, right. Right.
Right. So none of these got nominated for Best Picture.
Beauty and the Beast shut out. There's a stunner.
Right, but I'm just saying,
not a
the reason to expand this particular category was, so people at home would say, like, oh, I loved Wonder Woman, or, most of these movies, how many people have seen Phantom Thread?
By the way, exactly as many as will see it now. This isn't going to do anything for that fucking piece of shit.
I mean, I will say this. I think that to me, in terms of surprise snubs, I was more surprised by, The Post not getting anything.
Well, I'm surprised. Well, it didn't. I mean, it got nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, and Meryl Streep
and
got it, but you're right.
Got a Best Actress nomination. It got frozen out of Tom Hanks Best Actor, and Spielberg didn't get a Best Director nomination.
He was good, but come on.
So Mike, in your opinion, if you could have had a 10th nominee, what would you put in there? The Big Sick or Florida Project or I, Tonya or Mudbound?
Mudbound, absolutely. Mudbound, in my opinion, is the biggest snub of the year.
Well, Mary J. Blige got a
absolutely.
And the cinematographer.
And the cinematographer is the first black woman to be nominated in cinematography.
I found it very hard to understand the dialogue in that particular film. Maybe it was the TV.
It was mushbound for Neil.
I was watching it on. It didn't have great speakers, but it was really like that southern dialect. It was very, very difficult.
Listen, I think for Netflix to get anything 2 years out,
I think that's part of the politic. I think part of the politic is they don't really want to give that award to Netflix. I think that they have to acknowledge that these films are well made, well directed, well written, great performances. But I don't think they want to give a Best Picture to a Netflix
or Amazon in the case of The Big Sick. That's an Amazon film, right?
That's an Amazon film. I think perhaps I think Big Sick, as much as I liked it, I don't think it should be a Best Picture nominee.
I agree.
Well, you know, Willem Dafoe was the front runner in the Best Supporting Actor category for the longest time for Florida Project, but that's been totally overtaken by Sam Rockwell in Three Billboards, you know. So, I don't know.
And Christopher Plummer got into that category.
And Christopher Plummer got in.
That's pretty amazing.
Nine days of work.
He's the oldest nominee ever, beating out Gloria Stewart. He's 88. She was 87. But the question is whether that was just really a technical nod for Ridley Scott.
If the movie just got released, you know, normally.
Although they were talking about Michelle Williams in that film. So
my question is, if the movie got released, like with Kevin Spacey, and there was no, you know, of these sexual allegations against Kevin Spacey, and the movie just came out like a normal movie, would this movie have...
They were going to mount a campaign for Kevin Spacey.
They did.
Well, the thing is, they couldn't have because of Kevin Spacey. The same thing would have happened to Franco. You know,
well, it's really the Franco thing. I mean, you know, so the stuff comes out about Franco after the Golden Globes, and he wins the Golden Globe, and he showed up to the SAG Awards. But, yeah, they're freezing him out because of this stuff. Now, do you think that that's fair in terms of the performance? I mean,
his performance,
he should have definitely been nominated.
I mean,
did you see what the actress said today that brought the accusations against him? He's no Harvey Weinstein. And
yeah,
I thought, boy, isn't that nice that that's considered a compliment this day and age?
Well, I think, honestly, in this thing, I think Aziz is the one who's really getting the raw deal, you know?
Well, Aziz isn't nominated.
Right,
that's
but
a whole
we've
other conversation.
We've talked about Me Too, and
you know, this is a sidebar.
Yeah, what else did you? What were you? What's your biggest? What are you happiest about, Mike?
Coco. He loves Coco.
No, I'm. You know, I liked Coco, and I think it's definitely the best. Best. I was unhappy for Mudbound being snubbed. I didn't really care about Wonder Woman being snubbed. I didn't feel that was necessarily a snub. I did think In the Fade was really, really good, and I'm surprised that that did not.
Yeah, we talked about that before we brought you on. I thought that was not only great, I thought it was going to win, and a couple of people were talking about Diane Kruger sneaking into the best actress category.
She was so good. I never really cared about Diane Kruger. I never thought, you know, I thought she was one of those, like, I don't know why she's working actresses, but I have to say, though I will say, and this is a slight concern, because and I'm torn. I love Octavia Spencer, but, okay, I feel her getting nominated for this role, you know, I'd be hard-pressed to tell the difference between her in this and her in the Help, you know, what the role she played. And I know that.
So do you think that she got nominated and Jordan Peele's movie got five nominations because there are more people, there are younger and more diverse members of the 500 or 600 people they let in last year? Are we seeing the results of that here?
I definitely think that's part of it. But I also think, you know, Get Out is a great film. Get Out is a film that's a game-changing film. It's a film that historically we'll look back on how much it changed the game. It did so many things. When was the last time?
I don't agree with that, but anyway, that's...
I do, but when was the last time? Let me ask you this. Forget the fact that it deals with social issues. When was the last time a horror movie, and I mean, and technically you call Shape of Water a horror movie, was nominated for an Oscar?
But that's the very point. It maybe shouldn't have been nominated for an Oscar.
Definitely should have been nominated.
Okay, it's a game changer if you think that's an Oscar-nominated movie, which...
We could talk 10 minutes a while.
Right, I know.
I think that movie
came along at the right time and got picked up and called things that even the filmmakers didn't think it was, but when they made it.
Mike, you know, Get Out to me... Although I admire the premise of the film, you know, where these white people want to kidnap black people, hypnotize them, and make them subservient. That's an unbelievable concept, and there's so much...
Not at all.
No? What do you mean?
No. Let me just say this.
Oh, because let me finish before you say this.
I'm sorry, let me finish my thought.
All right, but this could take a while. What you have to say, but I'm saying, but as far as... You know, maybe, you know, 40% into that movie, it just follows the conventions of a regular horror film. Let's get out of the house. Let's escape. Let's get out of here. So I just find that. But now, go ahead. Tell me why you think.
I think everything about it is what makes it work. I mean, I think it's telling a story, okay, within a genre, okay? It's like telling a Western like this. Some of the best Westerns, the Western is just a milieu. It's really talking about other things. And this film is talking about a lot of other things. And I think that it was smart to take the horror genre, to take a genre, you know, to me, science fiction and comedy have something in common. And horror rarely, but also has that in common, where you can talk about things that are in a drama would be too heavy-handed to talk about.
I understand exactly what you're saying, except that I don't think for a second that Jordan Peele thought he was writing a manifesto or a parable about the Trump, Trump America.
So
I think it got swept up in that, and I think they're now going, yeah, that's what we intended. I think it's a great movie. I enjoyed it, but I don't think it deserves the kind of Oscar push that it's getting.
Do you think this movie could win?
I disagree.
A lot of people think it could win.
I think I'd be surprised if it won. I think it would be, again, that's a huge game changer. I think the fact that it got nominated, to me, is I don't know if I want to say is enough, but I think it's significant. And I think that, let me just take your point there.
Bill.
I'm sorry. Bill McCuddy. Okay, he didn't think he was writing this manifesto, and I don't think he should have been writing a manifesto. I think he wanted to write a movie. He wanted to talk about some things, just like comedians do. I mean, comedians always have something to say, you know, about what's going on. They want to make us look at what's going on. That's what the job of a good comedian is, and I think that's what he was doing. But at the same time, a lot of these movies that are, you know, angling for Oscar, what, like Molly's Game or whatever, they come off as somewhat pretentious sometimes, and they don't deserve.
I don't think Molly's Game was pretentious. I think it was just too long. I think it was too long. But do you think that?
I agree. I agree. Jordan Peele did not make what he thought was an Oscar bait movie.
Do you think that Peele will win for adapted for original screenplay over the Big Sick, Lady Bird?
Absolutely.
That could be that could be the Greta Gerwig Award. You know?
I think that if Greta wins only one thing,
as any of those, absolutely.
Jordan Peele, you're talking about, yeah, okay.
My opinion.
I think I'd rather see Lady Bird win.
Three Billboards is a great. He got snubbed.
That's the toughest category, I think.
Michael McDonough got snubbed for Best Director.
Director, and that means that film has a very long shot at getting Best Picture, because normally the director and picture lineup.
I think Get Out might get Best Original Screenplay because
I think so too.
I think that's how it gets honored. Although there's a lot of factors here. A lot of this is, it's all political. I mean, it's like, well, we're not going to give Greta Gerwig Best Director. We'll give her Best Screenplay, and we'll honor the film that way.
See, I think that the Oscars,
I think she'll get Best Screenplay.
I think the Oscars have learned how to nominate things for politics, and then I hope they pick what they like the best when they actually give out the Oscar.
All right.
I would tend to agree with you, Bill.
All right, Mike, thanks. We're gonna hop off with you, and we're gonna hop off.
We're snubbing you, Mike.
We're gonna hop.
You've just
on.
Been snubbed.
Snubbing me. Wait, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
Please.
I thought Hong Chau was snubbed. I thought she was really good.
You know, you're not the first person to say that, but that movie was so dreadful. And
what
you
an
didn't,
awful, awful movie that
you
was.
Didn't think
I like that
the
movie.
Movie, by the way, is downsizing the film.
You didn't think she's a caricature?
No.
Well, I know a lot of Asians who don't love her performance in that movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Any other snubs?
What the hell do I know?
What are you happiest about, Mike, before we let you go?
I say I am happy that they gave Denzel the respect, even though the movie wasn't good, they gave him the respect of keeping him in there.
Because
he got robbed last year. He got robbed last year. And I think that I'm happy that they nominated him.
I predicted that was going to be what you said. And I said that he owes a thank you note to James Franco. Because there's.
And Tom Hanks hasn't gotten nominated in a long time, you know?
Oh. All right, Mike. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. We'll speak to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
So joining us now on the podcast is Perry Nemiroff, longtime Talking Pictures television show contributor and guest. Hey, Perry, how you doing?
And Collider. Oh, and
very
she's...
happy to be talking to you guys again. I miss it.
Yeah, we miss you.
You must be thrilled that a horror movie, which is your favorite genre, is finally nominated for an Oscar. And I'm talking, of course, about The Post. No, about Get Out.
Oh, you know it. I mean, just thinking back to February of last year, of course, I loved Get Out, and I thought it was an exceptional genre film, but did I ever think it was going to go on to get a Best Picture nomination, let alone even more awards recognition beyond that? Absolutely not.
But we just had that conversation.
Everyone's recognizing
us. We had that conversation with Mike Sargent, who thinks it's very deserving to be in the category. Do you agree?
Oh my God, absolutely. The more and more I watch that movie, the more I do agree with that statement. That's the kind of movie where you can watch it one time and experience it one way, and every single time you rewatch it, you see more little details and see more new meaning in that story. It really is an outstanding
film. Well, let me ask you this, because people that don't know who know you, Perry Amorall, from Collider, your outlet, you know, horror, as Bill McCuddy just said, is your favorite, you know, genre. And I was just saying to Mike Sargent before that, aside from the interesting social commentary that the plot of the film is, don't you think that at a certain point in the movie, it just follows regular conventions of horror films? It's like, you know, will the guy get escape from the clutches of these people? And I mean, don't you think it just follows the regular pattern of a formulaic horror film at a certain point?
I would not agree with that at all. I think
we haven't had the benefit of 11 viewings like you have.
Well, you could probably push just about any movie out there into that box to some degree, no matter what plot point, what, you know, archetype you're talking about. With Get Out, what makes it so incredible and also original is just the basic premise of the entire thing. You can talk about the outstanding performances. You could talk about Jordan Peele's direction, him being a first-time director. You could talk about them making such a successful movie on such a low budget. And then just from a story perspective, I can tell you that during my first viewing, that movie takes twists and turns that I never saw coming. And then on repeat viewings, those twists and turns gain new meaning each time.
Well, what happened?
I wouldn't box it into any conventions.
What were you surprised at today, Perry, in terms of snubs and in terms of things that got nominated that you didn't necessarily think were going to be?
I think I would probably narrow it down to three huge surprises, one of them being Martin McDonagh not getting the Best Director nomination, given the fact that he has the Directors Guild won, and also with how well Three Billboards is performing in award season right now. And then I was shocked to see Phantom Thread get so many nominations, particularly with Leslie Manville getting that Best Supporting Actress nomination, because I thought that category was an easy one to predict the nominations, and I thought Holly Hunter was firmly in there, but clearly she is the one that got knocked out, and Leslie Manville's a surprise nominee.
Bill Brigoli, what do you think happened with, I mean, none of us expected Phantom Thread, the Daniel Day-Lewis directed by P.T. Anderson film. Did the studio just campaign heavy on it? I mean, so few people have seen the film. I mean, why do you think this film came out of nowhere like this?
It must be because Daniel Day-Lewis is supposedly last film. I think he's working at the cobbler shop downstairs from your building, as a matter of fact. Yep. That little leather shop. He's built making shoes right now or something. But I think that just got everybody's attention, so they wanted to see it. That's all I can think of, because they didn't screen it all that widely. I don't know how they got the Academy to see it, unless they drove them to the theater or gave them DVDs, but we didn't get them.
Did you see the film, Perry? Phantom Thread.
I did. And the two things that I think might have made this shift happen is the fact that Phantom Thread was a later release in the year, where it might have been fresher in some folks' minds when they were casting their votes. And then there's also just my personal response to the movie, which was the credits started to roll, and I was a little uncomfortable with the whole idea of what happens in that movie. And then I caught myself discussing it with people and wanting to talk about it more and not being able to shake it and thinking about it constantly. So maybe that lasting impression stuck with people more so than some of the other nominees.
Did you watch, Perry, the announcements live this morning with Tiffany Haddish and
Andy Serkis?
Did you watch?
I did.
You did.
I did. Bright and early at 5:22 a.m. my time.
So it's because, as we were talking earlier in the podcast, it's become like the nominations have become like a boring show that they're putting on right now. I don't know. I mean, it's a real lengthy process with the...
And will Tiffany be back next year, Perry?
For screwing up all the name, the pronunciation of the names?
Yeah, I will admit, I try not to be too hard on folks with difficult names because, I mean, to be completely honest, I've mispronounced my fair share of names. I would have thought they would have rehearsed that with her a little more, especially with someone getting nominated for a Best Actor award like Daniel Kaluuya. Is it that hard to say? I don't really think so, but I think they actually did a nice job this year. You know, the awards ceremony in March is basically the big show, and I've always looked at the nomination portion of it as, you know, simply a way to get the information out there, and I think it was effectively done in those two segments, and I liked what they did with the technical awards where they would highlight other actresses and made these little short pieces to
Neil hated that
the nominees that they were about to announce.
Neil thought that was stupid and overproduced, and I don't disagree. I think that especially with somebody like Tiffany, and Andy didn't look that comfortable there either. I wish they would just send out a press release at 8:38 Eastern time.
In the animated category, and I know this is just like reaching, but did anybody expect Boss Baby to get a nomination for Best Animated Film?
No. No.
When they said that this morning, I was like...
Supposedly Twitter is all upset.
Like, really?
Yeah.
You know,
I thought Boss Baby was kind of sweet, but I think it is also kind of crazy that we've had the Lego Movie and now the Lego Batman Movie not getting nominations.
Yes, that does seem like a glaring omission.
The more I marvel at the detail in that.
So, Perry, not to put you on the spot as the only woman on the show, but let's talk about how this is the year of the empowered female. We've talked about Wonder Woman not being nominated, but you have Greta Gerwig, who's, you know, considered... And you have Frances McDormand. You have some very strong female characters this year. Is this in reaction to the hashtag Me Too, or are they really making great movies for women now?
I think they really are making great movies for women. I'm so excited to see so much diversity right now, but when I look at it, I don't look at it as necessarily a direct response to all the campaigns that have been going on the past couple of years, because when I look at this list of people and this list of movies, every single thing deserves to be in there. You can look at that Best Picture category, and there isn't a single movie I would take out, and when you look at the content, who's in it, what kind of characters they're capturing, what kind of stories they're telling, they all feel so drastically different. But on the flip side of that, I definitely can't say that all of these movements haven't changed things at all, because they've most certainly had an impact. But it's nice to see the message constantly being sent and expressed in what I think is an appropriate way, but then see the industry kind of do a natural pivot in this direction. I'm very excited about the list of award nominations.
Why wasn't I Tonya nominated? Why wasn't I Tonya nominated for Best Picture?
That's a difficult question to answer, and I think it goes back.
Speaking of pivots,
if I were voting for the nominees, I would definitely have given I, Tonya a spot on that list. Maybe some folks don't feel as strongly. Clearly, they don't, as I do.
But too dark,
maybe.
But
then you look at how those nominees are selected, and you have that whole system with the magic number. And if it doesn't break down in I, Tonya's favor, then it gets bumped out. It's not a matter of, oh, you have 10 slots, you might as well just fill them all.
Well, Battle of the Sexes got shut out. That was a movie that I really loved. And I don't know, did it get nominated for anything?
I don't think so.
I don't think it got nominated for anything.
They campaigned, Grandma.
That I loved quite a bit. And when I was working on my personal top 10 of the year, that's when I revisited it. And even though I loved it so much, where I was sure it was going to get in my top 10 my first watch, when I watched it again alongside all the other ones that I was considering, I started to see it pale in comparison.
Well,
I still do like it quite a bit.
I would throw Disaster Artist on the Best Picture list. I love that film. And I'm wondering if the James Franco thing hurt that film's chances in terms of getting into the Best Picture category, or do you think it wouldn't have made a difference, Bill?
I have a feeling that Franco was the only chance to get into that, and they certainly weren't in the shadow of his troubles going to give the film a Best Picture nomination and not have him as... But it wasn't going to be one or the other. It was going to be, I think, just Franco.
Now, is Call Me By Your Name... It got a bunch of nominations. I mean, it's in the Best Picture category. And
Timothy got nominated,
Timothy
which
Chalamet
was expected.
Got nominated.
Armie Hammer is kind of a notable snub.
Yeah.
Right. So is this thing going to win anything? And, you know, it kind of like...
I think the screenplay has a shot.
I think it's going to win the screenplay.
James Ivory, come on. He's beloved.
Well, I don't know. What else is it? Well, The Disaster Artist is in that category for screenplay. And that's a really good screenplay. I mean, it's funny. I don't know. Mudbound? I don't think so. You know, maybe you're right. Maybe that's how they honor Call Me By Your Name. Who knows? What's been winning the adapted screenplay in the other award shows? In, you know, Critics' Choice and the Golden Globes and, you know, has Call Me By Your Name been picking up any awards? Perry, do you know?
I believe Call Me By Your Name did win the Critics' Choice Award for adapted. I believe that's correct. And I think it might have won something else as well. I know it has the WGA nomination, but obviously that hasn't happened yet. I want that to win anything it can. That was my favorite movie of last year.
Yeah, a lot of people love that film. And then others say they won't give it to another Moonlight this year because they won't do the same thing 2 years in a row. And
were you surprised about In the Fade, Perry? We were talking about how that...
A little bit.
I thought that was going to win.
Ever since I've seen that movie, I do recognize it as more of a you know, a powerhouse performance from Diane Kruger, and you know, I think it's a good example of a movie where one performance and one actress kind of carries the whole thing, because the movie as a whole didn't do it for me. It was her performance that really struck me, and when I'm thinking about the best foreign film that deserves a nomination, I want the complete package there.
Yeah, it kind of blew up at the end, you're right. So,
That's true. It kind of blew up. Yeah. All right. So let's not comment on that. You see the movie.
Some assembly required. All right. So
some of this stuff, though.
What's your biggest? What if you'd had a 10th spot as a voting Academy member and you could have given it to a movie? What's the one that you loved that didn't get on the list?
Easily, I, Tonya, for Best Picture. I had hoped that would wind up with the Best Picture nomination as well.
I
thought it might have. I thought it had a good shot, and clearly that's the one that got bumped off.
So do you think, Perry, also as the only woman on the panel, your thoughts on, you know, do you think that like the Golden Globes, the Me Too slash Time's Up movement will be the centerpiece of this year's Academy Awards in terms of will they all be wearing black? You know, will men who wear the pin – you know, mm-hmm. get ostracized. Some of them. What do you think about that?
I do have a feeling you are going to see the pin quite a bit, and I think there's going to be some statements made, whether we're talking about Jimmy Kimmel as the host or some of the people announcing the winners as well. But I don't think the dress in black thing is going to come into play again, simply because
they did.
You know,
did it
already. When you do something like that, it does take away from the moment and the memory if you start to repeat it. But I do think it's really important, even though I'm very happy to see, or at least that I think that change is happening in a very natural way and in a way that isn't just a reaction to all of the hashtags and things like that that were going around last year. Because if it's an instant reaction, odds are it can go away really soon. I think what's happening this year is a sign that we're making change for the long term. And I think that by keeping that message in the forefront throughout all of award season, through the Academy Awards, and I guess beyond, I think that's really important to make sure that we continuously paved the way in a better direction. And I think we're seeing signs of that happening right
Well,
now.
I think if that's the first 10 minutes of the Oscars, they'll have the lowest attendance of audience of any time.
Yeah.
Well, because you're putting me to sleep.
Before we let you go, Perry, tell me, Lady Bird, that Bill loves that film. Are you in love with that film too? I am not in love with that film.
I would say I loved that film, but, you know, if you look at my top 10 movies of 2017, it hurt a little bit, but I did have to push it off the edge a little bit into the honorable mentions. But while I was whittling down that list, it was definitely right, in the conversation.
So what's going to win? We're not doing predictions.
We're not doing predictions on this show, but right now, we're not going through all the categories, but Best Picture, if you were betting today, what do you think is going to win Best Picture?
If I'm betting today, I'm betting on Shape of Water. I think it will win. I want it to win. I think Three Billboards, if anything, has the chance of getting the award otherwise, but I still think the odds are in Shape of Water's favor.
All right. Thanks, Perry. We'll speak to you on hopefully you can join us on our prediction show the week of the actual Oscars in early March, okay?
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Perry.
Well, she's gone. She's wrong. Shape of Water. They're not going to give it to Aquaman.
Well, you know, Bill.
I really don't think so.
In defense of your cherished Lady Bird movie, which I told you I never thought was the best picture of the year, I think that that movie has a shot at winning the best picture. I really do.
Well, I hope you're right. I think Dunkirk also is going to see a surge in popularity.
Yeah, Dunkirk kind of went away. It kind of peaked too early. It came out early. I know. And
maybe it'll come back.
I'm surprised that Dunkirk, you know, all the talk on best director, is not around Christopher Nolan. I mean, the talk for best director. Do you think Christopher Nolan's going to get best director?
Oh, no. He was nominated. I was misunderstanding what you were saying.
No, he's winning, nominated. Winning.
I think that they would like to see him win. I think we're in a year that could definitely split.
Look, I think Guillermo del Toro is going to win that.
But three billboards, the director wasn't even nominated. So if you give that best picture, you have to pick something else. And so I think it could be Dunkirk.
Bill, have they changed the people, you know... The people that vote, the voting member body of the Academy Awards, are you familiar with how they're
trying to go younger, but they're still old and white.
Really?
Still.
So what's changed? What has changed?
Well, they're nominating more people or accepting more people as members every year.
Oh.
And younger. I think we're seeing some of the change of that this year. Everybody said, oh, no, letting 300 or 400... people of color and younger and women into it is not going to necessarily change. But I think we have seen some change this year.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, as I said, it used to be many years ago where the Academy Awards would come out and there weren't all these other award shows. And you would go like, that's interesting. You know, look at all these films that got nominated. It would be a genuine surprise to see what the Academy deemed to be their nominees, and there was no Critics' Choice Awards and if there was a Golden Globes, nobody was really paying attention to it, and nobody really put any stock in that, and there wasn't People's Choice Awards or SAG Awards, or if there were, it just wasn't on anybody's radar. So when you get to the Academy Awards now, which is the official end of the award season, I mean, even there's a couple of snubs here and there, but it's like, yeah, the usual suspects, you know, not the movie. It's like, yeah, okay. It's not like
Meryl Streep, Daniel Day-Lewis. But then you have the guy you have Jordan Peele, and you have the star of Get Out, and you have some things that are unexpected this year. Greta Gerwig, that you call that a small coming-of-age film, but it got elevated in a way that it might not have in, 10 years ago. So
if you were we're gonna have an Academy Awards show, prediction show. Academy Awards, I think, are March 4th. So that week we will do our prediction show. But let's just tackle one category as we did with Perry. If all Bill Bregoli and Bill McCuddy and myself, if today you had to lay a bet down on this for Best Picture. Okay, so Perry thought it was The Shape of Water. If you had to lay it down today, I'm sure that there's a chance that your answer might change when we get closer.
No, it will. I'm going to poll more and more voters over the next couple of weeks. That's what we do
here.
What
do you think, Bill Bregoli?
If this were a horse race, the Shape of Water would be in front, but it's a horse race is seldom won by the horse that's in front from the beginning. So it'll change. I really think it'll change.
I wish Lady Bird would win. I think Dunkirk might win.
So if you were putting the bet down today, Bill Bregoli, you would put it down on today.
Today, I'd say The Shape of Water, but the one I want to win is Dunkirk.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I would bet today on Dunkirk. I think that there are going to be some problems with people are going to come out and go, The Shape of Water has a lot of cartoony characters in it. It's a fantasy. La La Land was a fantasy last year and it didn't win. I think Dunkirk is the film that in the end will pull it out.
Well, it's interesting. It's the one category this year of all the categories, and we're not going to tip off what we think are going to win in the other categories. Though there are some real locks, I think, even at this particular point that won't change in some of those major categories. But I'm thinking, you know, the Best Picture category is the one category where it is up in the air. Again, not the movie, where there are four or five candidates in this category that could win.
Would be great if these were popular movies that everyone had seen.
I mean, if Lady Bird wins, I wouldn't be shocked. If Dunkirk wins, I wouldn't be shocked.
Dunkirk's made the most of the four, right? That we're talking about, or has Shape of Water made a lot of money?
Dunkirk's been out there longer, but you know, I thought down the line that The Post was the movie that was going to win because it checked off all the boxes. You know, it's the freedom of the press year, and it's the has a strong woman central character. But I guess if I was, what would I want to win on this? I guess what I would want to win on this would be the same movie that I probably think is going to win, which is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Just the way No Country for Old Men, it's that quirky, offbeat kind of film with great performances, and it's unique and original. But again, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Dunkirk's got a really good shot of winning this, even though I did not like that movie at all. But from a, a epic thing with those battles on the, with those sweeping vistas of the water and the boats and the aerial dogfight scenes and, and the
two films in the last 85 years, Driving Miss Daisy and Argo, won the best picture without also having the director nominated. So if that happens, it'll be the third time in 85 years.
Interesting, which goes to your Dunkirk point.
And the whole thing about Argo was they just thought he got snubbed, Ben Affleck. So, I mean, while Donny did get snubbed, he's not loved and liked the way Ben Affleck was that year. So it's not going to happen again. Three Billboards isn't going to win.
Hey, by the way, new on DVD this week is a movie called Suburbicon with Matt Damon.
Piece of shit.
No, I liked it. Matt Damon and Julianne Moore in two roles. A handicapped sister and
a not handicapped sister.
Well, I was going to say, I can't really describe her character arc or it'll be a spoiler.
One has a lot of sex.
But it might be, what's that?
One has a lot of sex, the other one doesn't.
Well, let's just say that I don't think this movie was worth, on any level, full price, at a theater, at the box office. But on DVD or on demand, for an offbeat kind of weird film, I kind of liked it. I thought it was interesting. It has a Coen Brothers-esque kind of feel to it.
Yeah, because they wrote it and they put it on shelf like a million years ago and said they're never going to make it.
But it is Coen. It is right. It's Coen Brothers-esque, even though they didn't. One of the rare. Well, actually, they've written a bunch of stuff.
They've written scripts for things that they didn't direct.
Yes, I kind of like that. And well, it's the 90th Academy Awards, and boy, has time flown by. it was only yesterday that Wings in 1927, who we finally remember.
So the Oscars is finally as old as most of the members.
Yeah, there you go.
And actually, the nominations for the 30th Annual Razzie Awards were announced yesterday. And
can we guess?
The last...
Please tell me Suburbicon was one of them.
Transformers The Last Night is leading that with 7 nominations, including Worst Picture, Worst Actor from Mark Wahlberg, and Worst Director from your friend Michael Bay.
Anything else on there that you could think
well,
of?
Well, even Jennifer Lawrence got a nomination.
The Mother movie?
For her Worst Actress in Mother.
Do you know the actress who won the Razzie and the Oscar in the same year for two different movies?
Halle Berry?
No. Sandra Bullock for, Tao of Steve or Something About Steve or All About Steve, which was this piece of shit reporter movie that she was in, and she won for The Blind Side the same year.
So if they changed...
Didn't she show up for one of them?
She's one of the few actresses that actually showed up to get a Razzie.
So let's say that all of the movies that got nominated for picture, they completely changed the voting academy, the members of the academy, and Wonder Woman gets nominated, and Logan gets nominated for Best Picture, and Star Wars, the latest Star Wars, gets nominated for Best Picture, and what else did huge box office this year?
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast.
And Get Out. Get Out was like the number 2 or 3.
So all this stuff makes like a fortune, you know what I mean? And all the stuff that made a fortune gets nominated. And what's the thing that's been killing it? Like there was a movie in December that was just killing it at the box office,
Jumanji.
Jumanji, would that be considered a 2017?
Well, where are you going with this? Like, what?
Yeah, it
right.
Like the
so with the ratings,
would people watch?
Would
yeah,
the ratings
yeah.
be through the
should
roof?
Should they have a category called crowd pleasers, or should they have a category called the top five, where they literally take the top five movies of the year and nominate those and pick a best of those top five? Yeah, that's called the People's Choice Awards, or the Critics' Choice Awards. We do that to a certain extent. But it would definitely help the Oscars, 100%.
Are you surprised that Star Wars didn't get technical awards? Because
it got a few.
Did it really?
Yeah.
It got
visual effects, sound editing.
Yeah, those were to be expected.
Yeah. Well,
I always guess that.
The documentary short subject, I'm on pins and needles. I just, you know.
And that's, Jane, Bill pointed out the Jane
snub. The Jane Goodall documentary.
Jane Goodall doc.
Did not get nominated.
That was doing well in everything else up till now.
All right. Well, I want to thank Perry Nemiroff and Mike Sargent and Bill McCuddy and Bill Rigoli. And we will, next week, we'll have a regular podcast. And
but come back anyway.
And in the week of the Oscars, we will tell you, we will go through each category and help you win your Oscar pool and tell you what we think shit will win. In the meantime, you can follow me at Neil Rosenapples. You could follow Bill
at Bill McCuddy or on goldderby.com.
And you can find me sitting at the bar at Cronin and Phelan's Pub in Astoria, New York.
And Mike Sargent is Mike on screen. And I apologize to Perry Nemiroff. I do not know her Twitter handle.
But she's at the Collider site, so you can go see her work on Collider.
Right, and you could just look it up, Perry Nemiroff, and you'll find it. So anyway.
Yeah, that's an easy name to spell.
Well, there you go. Thanks for sitting around talking movies with us. And we'll sit around talking movies again with you next week.